This is the weekly podcast from the Journal of Neurosurgery. Welcome. This is the November 21st, 2014 podcast. My name is Natalie Pincham, and I will be reading summaries of four articles on neurosurgery residency, trauma, traumatic brain injury, vascular disorders, and oncology. Attrition rates in neurosurgery residency. Analysis of 1,361 consecutive residents matched from 1990 to 1999. A clinical article by Gabrielle Lynch and colleagues. This study follows 1,361 individuals who matched into a neurosurgery residency program between 1990 and 1999. The object of the study was to determine neurosurgery residency attrition rates by sex and type of medical school attended, that is, public versus private, and rank. The main outcome measure was achievement of American Board of Neurological Surgeon certification. 11% of these 1,361 individuals were women. 20% graduated from a top 10 medical school. 45% were graduates of public school, 50% of private school, and 5% of international schools. The total residency completion rate was 86% overall, with 76% of women and 87% of men completing residency. Board certification was obtained by 79% of all individuals matching into residency between 1990 and 1999. 61% of women and 80% of men were board certified. Women were found to be significantly more at risk of not completing residency or becoming board certified than men. Public medical school alumni had significantly higher board certification rates than private and international alumni. There was no significant difference in attrition for graduates of top 10 ranked institutions versus other institutions. In conclusion, women and private medical school graduates who began neurosurgery training between 1990 and 1999 were less likely to become board certified than men and public medical school graduates. Racial and ethnic disparities in discharge to rehabilitation following traumatic brain injury. A clinical article by Ashley Meager and co-authors. 1.7 million cases of traumatic brain injury, or TBI, occur in the United States annually. The majority of these are discharged from the emergency department. However, 275,000 are hospitalized with moderate to severe TBI and survive to discharge. TBI can result in long-term functional loss. Disparities in access to inpatient rehabilitation services after TBI have been identified, but less well described is the likelihood of discharge to a higher level of rehabilitation among different racial groups, particularly Black and Hispanic patients. The authors posit that discharge destination should be considered in light of the spectrum of rehabilitative services offered. The lowest level of the spectrum is home, then comes home health, followed by skilled nursing facility, and the highest level of rehabilitation is inpatient rehabilitation. The authors investigate racial disparities in discharge destination following TBI by using a nationwide database and methods to address racial differences in pre-hospital characteristics. Adult Hispanic and Black patients with TBI are significantly less likely to receive intensive rehabilitation than their non-Hispanic white counterparts. Insurance coverage alone does not account for this disparity. It is imperative that unmeasured, patient, physician, and institutional drivers of disparities in TBI care be explored in order to eliminate them. Dural arteriovenous fistulas of the hypoglossal canal. A systematic review on imaging anatomy, clinical findings, and endovascular management. A literature review by Bjorn Spitau and co-workers. In this article, the angiographic anatomy, imaging findings, clinical findings, and management strategies of dural arteriovenous fistulas of the hypoglossal canal are summarized. These lesions represent an unusual and exceedingly rare subtype of cranial dural arteriovenous fistula that displays a very complex angiographic anatomy. In the past, they have been referred to as various entities, such as arteriovenous fistulas of the marginal sinus, the skull base, or the condylar veins. An in-depth systematic literature review was performed and supplemented by the author's own cases. They summarized the involved craniocervical venous anatomy, with variable venous anastomoses highlighted by detailed drawings. Dural arteriovenous fistulas of the hypoglossal canal consist of a fistulous pouch involving the anterior condylar confluence and or vein, with a variable intraosseous component inside the lower clivus. Three major types of venous drainage were associated with distinct clinical patterns. Type 1 fistulas, with anterograde venous drainage, mostly present with pulsatile tinnitus. Type 2 fistulas, with retrograde venous drainage to the cavernous sinus and or the orbital veins, are associated with ocular symptoms and may mimic cavernous sinus fistulas. And type 3 fistulas, with cortical or perimedullary drainage, present with intracranial hemorrhage or cervical myelopathy. For type 1 and 2 fistulas, transvenous embolization is the treatment of choice, demonstrating the lowest morbidity and the greatest efficacy. Understanding the complex venous anatomy is crucial for planning alternative transvenous embolization approaches if standard transjugular access is impossible. Transarterial embolization or surgical disconnection should be reserved for type 3 hypoglossal canal dural arteriovenous fistulas or for lesions with poor venous access. Treatment by specialist surgical neuro-oncologists improves survival times for patients with malignant glioma. By Ursulan Khan and colleagues. The authors report the first study to demonstrate a survival advantage in patients with glioblastoma multiforme and anaplastic astrocytoma when the surgery they undergo is performed by a specialist neuro-oncology neurosurgeon rather than by a general neurosurgeon. The authors found that specialists achieved a greater extent of resection, which directly correlated with improved overall survival. Furthermore, the surgical 30-day mortality rate was lower in the cohort of patients treated by a specialist. In addition, patients under the care of specialists had a substantially reduced hospital admission time. The author's findings support a shift in the care of patients with central nervous system tumors to surgeons who specialize in neuro-oncology. Thank you for listening. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org.